We thank you for what we have heard about baby Ezra, and we thank you for relieving Brother Othniel from the tensions of this world. But we ask you will continue to work in the life of this family. Lord, we pray you will work in our lives as we see one by one. We are looking at our congregation dwindling before our eyes. We ask that you will keep us, Lord, that you will strengthen the things that remain, and that you will encourage us in the Word of God and with the brethren. Lord, as we said this morning, every disciple is missing, and yet we are puzzled to see how long periods of time will pass and professing brethren would remain missing. We pray, Lord, that our people will make their calling and election sure. Many people are deceived into thinking that they have prayed a prayer and they are saved. And we ask, O Lord, that you once again will open the ears of the deaf and cause the blind to see and the lame to walk. Be with us this hour as we open your word again. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing in our exposition from Proverbs, we have selected Proverbs 29, verse 18, for our expository thought this evening. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he, the one that keepeth the law, happy is that one. These few lines is what we will consider this power. The vision, the people, the keeper of the law. When the Bible speaks of a vision, one has to carefully consider the context in which that word is mentioned. Jacob had a vision. He saw a ladder reaching up to heaven. Later, the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1 tell us who was that ladder and who was ascending up on it. When the Bible speaks of a vision, you better be careful and consider the context in which the word is mentioned. Peter in Acts 10 had a vision, and later we are told what that vision represented. These visions were perfectly accepted at that time as a means of divine revelation. God spoke that there then. The word vision, in its transliteration, is the word revelation. Where there is no revelation, the people perish. In our days, we do not receive messages, visions from God this way, because there is no private revelation to man. Peter says, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were led by the Holy Ghost. The word vision only appears once in the book of Proverbs, but it is clear from other Scripture that the writer is saying this vision is the Word of God. So let us look at these words respectively. The vision, the people, the keeper of the law. I will explain these three points tonight. The vision. Where there is no vision, the vision is not a desire one has to do something for the sake of the church or for the Lord. We often hear people say, I have a vision for the lost. What they mean by this is that they have a desire or a plan to be useful, to do something for God. People have many visions. And people may have a vision to be useful, but their vision may not have anything to do with the gospel. It's a false vision. Or they may have a vision, but their message may be so far removed from the gospel that it is not the gospel. And you hear most of them people saying, I have a vision. The great speaker said, I have a dream. Whatever dream he had, it is not a biblical dream. And I don't celebrate him. I know another man by that name who had a vision. And we have many books today from his vision. Many think that because they attend the largest church with an ordained celebrity preacher, that this somehow will gain them entry into God, onto God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But the Bible doesn't say this at all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just a few weeks ago, there was the largest church in the city. 4,000 people in attendance, back-to-back weeks. No gospel. Absolutely no vision. The people indeed are perishing without the gospel. People like big crowds, celebrities, like to know they are attending plush churches. But where there is no vision, people perish. That's what the writer is saying. Brethren, the vision is the gospel. The word vision can also mean oracle. Many times when people receive visions in the Bible or in Bible times, it was the gospel. Daniel received the gospel. Joseph received the gospel. And he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. Daniel interpreted for many kings. It was the gospel that they could not understand. And God uses his servants to explain the vision. And whatever Joseph said came to pass. Joseph gave Pharaoh the whole gospel plan. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. There is a period when the gospel goes out. And there's a period when the gospel ceased to go out. Famine. No vision. We probably are in the 7 years of famine right as I speak to you. Gospel. That's the vision. Today, the vision or the gospel is the same. It is not understood by the unsaved in the congregation. It is not understood by the natural man. It requires the Holy Spirit or one with the Holy Spirit to explain the gospel. And where there is no gospel explanation, the people perish. So we're doing an exposition of the verse. Don't expect to go to any other verse but this verse. Proverbs 29 verse 18. During the reign of the second last judge, and I would ask you, by quizzing you, who was the second last of the judges that judged Israel? And you should know who was the second last judge. If Samuel was the last, you should know who was the second last. I encourage people to know their Bibles. God doesn't want us to be ignorant Paul said this many times, God doesn't want you to be ignorant. And that's why people perish, because they don't know what the Bible says. During the reign of the second last judge of Israel, the nation became apostate, and God began to remove the gospel. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And here you have your answer. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. In other words, what this verse means is that the gospel had become scarce, dim, obscure. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that when Samuel lay down, before the lamp went out. And that was figurative language. Judgment was on the land. Not many days later, Samuel fell off his stool. His two sons were dead. And the sign on the temple marked, the glory has departed from Israel. Well, who's the glory? Christ left the church. I'm afraid if we men don't guard the sanctity of our worship, that will happen here. Pretty soon. Pretty quickly. What this verse mean is that the gospel had become extinct. Samuel did not even recognize the Lord's voice. He was a child, because the priests had forsaken the Lord, and the vision was not there. There was no clear revelation. A similar situation permeates many congregations today. There is no vision. There is no gospel. Sometimes I quiver and people say they're going here and they're going there. The vision in Proverbs refer to the gospel. So let me move on to the next heading quickly. The people. Where there is no vision, the people perish. There are many applications we can make in regards to the people. There are people in churches and congregations. You are people. I hope so. There are people who were never evangelized in the world. I can tell you today that there are many people in the country of Zimbabwe that never heard the Bible read in their language. Never heard the Bible. Most of the people that come and sit in our midst have no Bible. And sometimes you see little children with a New Testament, a Gideon New Testament. That's all they have. Straining their eyes, some adults, to see the Bible. Oh, how it breaks my heart. This verse. You should consider it. There are people who were never evangelized in the world. First, the people can be those in churches like ours, where there is no gospel, the people perish. But though there are many unevangelized people in the world, God is particularly speaking of people in organized religion who are supposed to hear the vision and are not hearing the vision. Hosea 4:6, the prophet said, my people are being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Now we should not take this lightly, because God is always active in His church. God doesn't sit idly when men despise the gospel. He blinds them further. Why do you think that people are not here when a meaningful gospel message is brought? Why you think that? God has already began to blind people. And it's a terrible place to be. Before he destroys, he blinds. And this has been the case in Israel. Just read your Old Testament and you'll see. And when God was about to bring judgment on Samson, here's a picture. What happened to Samson? His eyes were gouged out. It's a picture. And we should listen to these things. I wouldn't want to ever come to a stage where God has blinded me. And at times, when God is bringing judgment on the church, he blinds the leaders of the church. Read the Bible and you'll see for yourself. When Hosea spoke these words, he was speaking to God's organized people who had forgotten him. God didn't take it lightly. Prophet, priest, king had corrupted the gospel. When a church ceased to bring the gospel, people would perish. Think of churches that stood that are no longer. Charles Bridges, in his commentary on Proverbs, said, and this is a reformed guy, don't read anybody else when I'm preaching expository. He says this, and I quote, "No greater calamity, therefore, can there be than the removal of division. The temporal famine, only affecting the body, is a light judgment, scarcely to be mentioned, compared with that by which the people perish, the famine of hearing the word of God." Charles Bridges, reformed guy, he understood Proverbs 29:18. We hear many crying today about the inflation, the high gas prices, $55 to fill up a car, $25 a year ago, the gas, $100 in Zimbabwe. Whenever you go to the pump, Colin, you need to give me more money, $80. I had to sponge off of Marcel. Jackie, $80 for the car. People are crying. They're crying about inflation and high gas prices. No one is crying about the reduction of gospel servants and sermons today. No one is crying about that. No one is crying. Are you going back there again? Well, what are we going to do? Where there is no vision, people perish. Don't want to hear. People can sit and never sense the absence of the vision. Ultimately, where there is no vision, people will perish. God has ordained one means to bring people to salvation. The word literally means to let loose. Where there is no gospel, people will be let loose. Or live loosely. That's how they want to come here and live. I had to get off the pulpit this morning to speak to somebody. You probably had your eyes closed or you must have had them open. Not one person said anything to that person. You need to listen up. The New King James says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." Where there is no revelation, no gospel, the people do as they want. And remember, we are considering the people. And especially the people under the gospel. Timothy charged Paul, "Preach the word. In season out of season. Because the time will come, and the time has come, when men will have the itch and heap up teachers that they can listen to. Frequent references are made from this pulpit about people despising the leaders, or the, I don't know who people are listening to. Maybe you guys are listening to people that I don't hear. I don't know, but I've heard this many times. I've heard Colin address it. This morning I heard Curtis address it. Maybe you guys are, your audience seems to be different than my audience. And I don't know why people would have a beef with me. All I try to do here to you is to be faithful. That's all I try to do. It's not easy. I'm a lonely man. The only body I have as a friend is my wife. And I'm thankful for that. Let me state quickly three sad results under this second heading, the people, quickly. And sometimes you gotta finish a message, an unfinished message, quickly. Where there is no vision, there is no proclamation to the people. Where there is no vision, there is no proclamation. There are 66 books in the Bible, the Holy Canon, that proclaims one person. The work and the person of Christ. 66 books. How are we going to proclaim Christ if He's not revealed to us? If we don't see the vision, how are we going to proclaim it? How are you going to understand the Bible when you never met Christ? Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." The Greeks were very educated. They were intellectual people. The gospel was foolishness to them. And some here would come and sit and listen, but the gospel is foolishness. They take off and they go into the world. The gospel is foolishness. They're educated. Education has sent them mad. To preach is to proclaim, to herald. If one isn't proclaiming Christ, it is because there is no vision. And because of this, people will perish. Paul says, "Him we preach, warning every man." And notice the components in proclaiming. Him we preach. Two, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. Notice the purpose, that we may present every man complete in Christ. You see the purpose for preaching, for teaching, for warning, that we may present every man under the gospel complete. Not some, everyone. That's the goal of preaching, that you will become saved. Not that you will become my friend, but that you will become saved. And too many of you want people to be your friend. You can't have people to be your friend if you're signing up here. Look for something else to do. Where there is no proclamation, people will perish. Part B. Where there is no edification, people will perish. Where there is no proclamation, if there is no vision, there will be no edification of the people. You know what's edification? It's a construction word. people have replaced the vision or the revelation of God with entertainment. If I had a drum set up there and 10 of you soloists singing, if I was to bring in Diana Ross, or who's the latest one? Louise, who's the latest pop star? I'm just playing with you. But you, some of you know them better than me. Let's put them up there. There will be no room in here. And you'll be surprised to see who will be the first at the door to come in. You wouldn't see no latecomers. Everybody will be fighting for a space. I tell you, I see it all the time. There will be no edification. Churches that systematically have expository teaching in their pulpits have very few people. Super Bowl night. Churches are practically closed across the nation. Closed. Super Bowl. Today men perk up when they hear banquets, other side shows. They'll find themselves here. But it is the word of God that brings edification. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Notice the same phrase in Colossians, till we come to a complete or perfect man. The goal, the edification, the building up, is to save. The vision. In the same chapter in verse 29, the apostle warned, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. I explained that already. Corrupt communication is not cuss words. It can be applied that way. But corrupt communication is unwholesome words that has no gospel content to minister grace to the hearer. The gospel must be a gospel of grace, lest it is corrupt communication. Learn the gospel of grace. Corrupt to those hearing, where there is no vision, there will be no edification of people. If there was no gospel at your church, you will not be built up. And just a few in our church is built up spiritually. Just a few is far between in our church. Just a few are being built up. A few, not many. I know, I converse with people. You know if they're being built up and what they're built up on. But this verse can be taken personally. If God hasn't given us that special revelation, that vision, where we have come to understand His grace, we are in danger of perishing. See, where there is no vision, there will be no transformation of the mind. No proclamation, no edification, no transformation. It is the gospel that transformed the lives of people, not entertainment. Many in churches are still thinking as the world. They're not transformed. They're living like the world. Their decisions are smack out of the world. No transformation. I have a presentation to show you in 2 weeks. Some things will break your heart. Bridges again said, from the apostate church of Rome, the vision is well nigh withdrawn, and the people perish in ignorance and delusion. Antichrist, who have obscured the glory of God and the true knowledge of His word, overcasting the same with mist and clouds of error and ignorance to their false glosses and interpretations. You're a Catholic? You need to read Bridges. You help you become a Christian. So, we have looked at two lines from the text. The vision. It's another name for revelation of God. The oracle. The people, we mainly address those who are supposed to be hearing the word of God. Those are the ones under, or supposed to be under. Now we did mention there are people that are unevangelized. That too, if there's no gospel, they will perish. But the Bible is not written for them, it's written for us. It's written to ministers. Where there is no revelation, your people is in danger of perishing. So you quarrel with me if I bring a systematic theology, an exposition from a text, an application to that text? Is the application that builds up the people. We have looked at this. Amos said, there will be a famine, not of bread, not of water, but hearing the word of God. Are you hearing the word of God? Are you hearing it? I heard Brother Curtis this morning. Are you hearing? When there's a natural famine, everyone suffers. Everyone. The farmer suffers, the common people suffer. One thing you can say in Zimbabwe is so pretty, lush and green, and all the cows are having fun. And I rejoice with them. The last line, the keeper of the law. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Last line in our exposition. There are two ways we can look at this line, this last line. First, I must say there is no one who can keep the law good enough to merit salvation. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. The singular noun he that keeps the law in the spiritual sense is Christ, the perfect one. He kept the law perfectly. Happy is he. Blessed is he. Psalm 1. Same thing. But let us not stop there. It applies to those who have become believers. Those who are in Christ. This is in contrast to those who have no vision, no revelation. Those who are breaking loose, living loosely, perishing. Same word. The wise author of Proverbs said, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The Lord uses this word happy many times in his Beatitudes, didn't he? Again and again and again, 11 times. Blessed is he. Blessed is this one. Blessed is this. Macarius. Many times in the Beatitudes, he described the state of being of a believer. Blessed is he that does this. Blessed is he. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I hear Ronald exegete that verse in Lusaka Baptist Church one morning as worship with it. The single word, he. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The word keepeth is in the present indicative. The one that is keeping the oracles. Blessed is that one. This can refer, as I say, to one of two individuals. First, the Lord Jesus in his perfect state of blessedness. He is happy. And let me say, he's happy without us. God was not lonely when he made man. God didn't say, I'm lonely, so let me make man. Man became the biggest headache for God. God was happy to redeem man. And I hope that you make him happy. And some make him very unhappy. And I think I heard Offaly saying something to that effect Tuesday night. You don't get God angry. Because you don't know. I hear every message. And the Bible says that God hates those that do wickedly. He says God is in heaven. His eyes tries the eyelids of men. But the wicked he is angry with every day. There's not a day that goes by that God is not angry with the one who is breaking his law. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. No one can keep the law perfectly. So in the first way to understand this verse is that it is the Savior who has kept the law for us. The other way to understand this sentence, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he, refers to the converted person. The Lord Jesus said after he washed the disciples' feet, you remember that in John 13, he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you hear them. He didn't say that. Happy are you if you do them. There is a happiness when one is obedient to the Lord. Don't ask me. There's a sense of happiness when the day is done of service to God. There's a happiness when a trip of service to God is finally completed. There's a happiness. There's a joy. There is unhappiness when one is not a keeper of the law of God, providing that they are saved. One way to tell if you are not saved is if you maintain a status of happiness and you are out of the will of God. You deceive yourself. God is not going to make you happy. The things that you are striving for in this life will not make you happy. Let me tell you that right now. I don't want anything in this world. Nothing. God has blessed us with sufficient. Nothing. I said many times, I could drive any car I want if I was earthly minded. I could live any way I want if I was earthly minded. I am content to serve God. You don't see me running up and down, going places. I can, but I will not. I want to serve God. I'm sorry for you. And I'm not really blowing my horn, brethren. I don't like to do that. I don't like saying things like this. But I'm making an application to our people. The man who is obedient to God is a happy man. If this is not the case with us, that we are not at our happiest when we are obedient, we should consider that we have become children of God. No true Christian is happy or blessed if they're disobedient. No Christian. God forgives sin. But he said to the woman that was taken in adultery, go, but as you're going, stop sinning. So the words But he that keepeth the law, happy, blessed is he. It's a promise to the believer where true happiness is found, in obedience. Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. May the Lord bless you tonight. May your hope, may your confidence, may your happiness be in Christ. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, quite unexpectedly, we have come with your word once more. Lord, it doesn't seem as though you ever cease speaking to us. And oh Lord God, help us, Lord, to understand that where there is no gospel, where there is no oracle, the people break loose, live loosely. But happy is he that keep your law. We pray that we will be a people that are obedient to the commands of God, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as some already are doing, that we would keep your word in the proclamation of the gospel, that we would be eager to send, to go, to be sent with the vision. We pray, O Lord, that you will help us not to have an earthly vision. We see how quickly health can be taken from us. We see, even with this little baby Ezra, how quickly gifts, earthly gifts, can be snatched away from us. There is only security and happiness in Christ. May we find that happiness. We pray in his name. Amen.